It's time to kick it off, yeah. It's time to do a great Amber May show. Is here with topics you like out in the desert where the sun gets hot. So drop on into that Amber May spot.
Thank you for joining me today. We're going to continue our discussion with Cynthia Hutch. She's a psychotherapist, and we've been talking about the concept of concubines versus wives. Why are we all settling for second best when we can have the best? And she's here back again to break down complex issues to simple terms. If we go back to people who lived together before marriage and they get married, statistics say that there is more higher infidelity than those who did not live together prior to marriage. Why would that be?
Well, I think it's if you think about how conversely this works in our psyche, that when people live together, they're already in many ways devaluing one another. Because they're saying, I want everything, but I don't really want to fully commit to, so you're not fully my responsibility. So we'll separate out finances, we're going to do finances 50-50, we'll be having sex, we're not really securing the relationship other than we love each other and we're willing to live with one another and see how it goes. And so it can feel very strong. You've already started that relationship in a manner that is communicating to the person, I'm not sure about you. I don't know if I really can trust you. I don't know if I really love you. So that then when they go to finally get married, there isn't that unconscious or subconscious excitement that people do when they get married, because they're like, finally, we're arriving.
That's true.
It's like, this person that I've picked, this person I've chosen, they choose me back, and I'm going to stand for everybody, and everyone's going to know it. And so you don't really get to do that when you've been living together. You know? Now, there are many times where couples can go through transitions, and they may have started out living together for lots of different reasons. And maybe as they've grown and matured, maybe they became Christians, maybe they renewed their faith, then God can restore a lot of that.
Mm-hmm.
But for the majority of people that start out living together, it's all this trial and error. It's this constant waiting and seeing approach to the person. So that when you finally do get married, then there's that component on top of the fact that now there is maybe like I waited for this. It's not that great. And now I just have more responsibility and more commitment. Because they didn't go into it with that. It's kind of like if I went to, you know, buy a house, and midway through my I said, okay, I'm going to lease this house, and then when I actually go to buy it, a lot of times it's kind of a downer. It's like, because now I've bought a house that, okay, it's not even that great. Maybe I should have just like went and got a new house,
mm-hmm.
you know, and started the whole process over. Because now I finally bought this house that all of my money that I've invested doesn't really count toward the current mortgage, you know, unless I do a lease option.
Right.
But even then, you don't.
Right.
You still paid a lot of money. You don't get to apply it to your new mortgage when you actually go to buy the house. And you bought a house that's already used.
That's true.
You know, you don't get a lot of the perks that you get when you get a new mortgage, where they might be like giving you back some money, or, you know, the people that you're buying it from are fixing it up, right?
Yep.
So you're already buying something used that you've been using the whole time.
Makes sense.
So there isn't that excitement of getting married. It's kind of like people that started out their relationship by being unfaithful to somebody, and so now they've decided, wow, okay, we broke up with the people we were with, we're not going to have an affair anymore, but we're going to love one another. And so then I say to them, the sad part about this is you don't have a good history to get to share with everybody. So people say, oh, how did you meet?
That's right.
They don't get to say, well, we had an affair.
That's right.
You know? And so it's one of those things where we're just hardwired for that kind of romance. And we don't get to have that when we do it in these ways.
Yeah, I always wondered about the females that, you know, they live together and then they get married. I just wondered how can they get so excited about the marriage if they've, quote unquote, been doing the whole marriage sort of type of thing.
Because now it's legitimized. Now they get to go through everything they really wanted to go through in the beginning. They just either couldn't let themselves or didn't let themselves know that they wanted that. And so now they're like, wow, it's really going to happen. And many times you see women that have lived together with men for a long time, when they go to get married, it's like the wedding of the century, you know.
That's true.
Yeah, it's like the wedding they never had, they never got to have. It's like, yes, because they really now finally are getting, there's something very powerful for women to stand in front of people and have a man commit to you. Something that can't be taken away. You know, that there's nothing like that feeling. And it doesn't matter how progressive you are, it doesn't matter how secular you are, it doesn't matter how religious you are. This is just the thing about women. We want to be the princess, the knight in shining armor fights through the whole entire, you know, land to get to us, to rescue us, to take us as their own.
You're right. You know, that's why when I started out the show, I talked about a place of honor. Being someone's wife is so honorable. Wow, you chose me. You didn't choose Mary Beth. You chose me to be your wife, to be your life partner. You chose me to commit to. You chose me to have your children. You chose me. I mean, that's huge. When my husband proposed to me, I was so excited. I couldn't wait to marry him. I didn't want to wait a year. I mean, maybe I married him quicker than people would have liked, but oh my gosh, once he proposed, that's it. I wanted to be his wife more than anything, and I couldn't wait to marry him. And you know, I just want women to understand that they don't need to take this dishonorable role of just being a living girlfriend, because they're cheating themselves out of so much.
I think the problem is they don't see it that way. They're thinking that they are protecting themselves, because one of the things that has happened in our culture is we don't have good men in a lot of ways. We have like some nice guys, and then we have some really, really bad, whatever, you know. And so it's hard to find good men, and so they think that they're protecting themselves by saying, I'm not going to depend on this man, you know. And they've been, you know, acculturated to believe that women should be able to stand on their own, do everything on their own. And I say, well, you can and you should. I don't think that we should be marrying men to be rescued,
right?
Ever. That doesn't work well at all for a relationship. But there's this aspect of being a wife that doesn't put me in a one down position. And society has kind of done that, where it can look like a one-down position. And so one of the ways that women feel like they make themselves an equal is they don't marry them. They can just live with them. And I take care of me, you take care of you, and I'm not in this one-down position.
Well, if they ever were married, they would realize that being a wife is a powerful place to be, because...
Well, they may not have been in their family.
That's true.
See, there's a lot of... we have a lot of families that are struggling.
That's true.
That we are raised in, and we don't have a lot of good examples of what it means to be honored as a wife.
That's true. I guess I look at the Proverbs 31 wife, and the fact that one verse in it that really caught my eye was when they said he was respected at the city gates, and he was respected, her husband was respected at the city gates because she honored him. People are going to look to the wife to see if your man's worth honoring and respecting. Because if you don't respect your husband and honor your husband, why should I honor and respect your husband? That's a powerful role right there. Not to mention, you know, we're supposed to be their helper. And so if they need to make a tough decision, we can show them all these options or ideas that we have. I know that, you know, when I give my husband compliments, he turns into a hero. Maybe the world beat him down. But suddenly I said, wow, you really made a great steak, or you did a really great job fixing this or that, or, you know, you're such a great provider. Suddenly he changes. Suddenly his eyes light up. You know, if his job told him he's not good or he's had a rough day, just one compliment changed his whole demeanor. I think it's up to us as women to help these men make good decisions. So that, A, they can get favor from the Lord, and so that they can live in the way that they're supposed to be, because at the end of the day, they're the ones responsible under God. God's going to look to the man and said, what did you do with what I gave you? Did you protect? Did you marry her? Did you honor her? You didn't. Us as women don't have to stand before God with that kind of aspect, because God put man over the family as their covering. And so as females, as wives, we're expecting that our husbands are going to get direction from God, and that's another form of protection. I feel secure knowing that my husband has a relationship with God, and that my husband's going to guide our family into the right way and lead us into the best path that we can go to as a family. And I don't have to have that responsibility of standing before God and saying, well, I didn't honor my husband and I didn't help him out like you wanted me to, my husband has to stand before God.
But I think what you're saying is very accurate. The problem is we don't have a lot of good examples of that. So we don't have a lot of women that have experienced that to even believe that that's could be a good thing. What they've experienced is either being put down, used, abused, discarded, not wanted. You know, or they've seen women be demoralized, or they've seen women be taken advantage of. And so there's this, the whole point of the concubines, one of the reasons that God even allowed concubines, at least I think, is that, you know, in the Garden of Eden, God gave Adam one wife. Well, mm-hmm. after that, see, when the fall of man occurred, mm-hmm. women became property.
Yep.
And so one of the ways that God protects women was by letting them be wives and concubines. Because they, you know, women were not educated. They were seen as property. They could not go out and fend for themselves and support themselves, especially with children. And so today we can do that. And that's a wonderful thing. And I yep. think that we should do that.
Mm-hmm.
However, what happens is then we don't see men understanding how to support a wife in that way. And so we see men either wanting to be a kept man, which is really egregious, you know, and let a woman do all the work and take care of them.
Yeah.
Not in some cultures, and it's mm-hmm. really damaging.
Right.
So we don't have these great examples of men that are wanting to be that are actually seeing their responsibility is not that of a one-up position. It isn't I lord over you. It's truly like in the marriage vows, meaning the marriage vows say, you know, the wife wasn't taken from the head to rule over him or for the foot to be stepped on by him, but
that's
from the
right.
side to be protected and standing next to him as an equal.
That's right.
Not the same. We have different roles. But
that's correct.
We are certainly the same value. And so when we don't have women that have experienced that, we have to educate them. We also have to educate men on how to be good men because they don't have a lot of good role models in America. Has really stolen their masculinity.
That's right.
And so they either know how to lord over, be dictatorial, or they just roll over and be a nice guy. And so it's hard for them to find that in between that is really the balance of a gentle servant leader. And that takes a very mature man, takes a man that has a solid ego, that he doesn't have this little fragile ego that, you know, can't take criticism and, you know, needs to be, you know, whatever, revered all the time.
Right.
And so that's a complicated thing when we are trying to describe that concept. That's a very esoteric concept that is very applicable. And you've got it down in many ways in your marriage, and you are reaping the benefits of that. And so what we want to do is we want to help educate people in understanding that this is a very possible thing to have, but it takes the paradigm shift.
It does.
A lot of trust.
Trust and depending on God. And there's times, you know, if I'm frustrated, I pray to God. I'm like, God, help me with this. And if you'd like to contact me, you can write me at P.O. Box 5162, Peoria, Arizona, 85385. That's P.O. Box 5162, Peoria, Arizona, 85385. And always check me out on the web at AmberMayShow.com. That's TheAmberMayShow.com. And you can email me there and get any information. Check out my corner store.